what lies beneath. Some people believe that monsters only come out at night. Those that believe in such things anyways. Sightings of these foul beasts are normally reported around darkness because of their sensitivity to the light. And yet, even others believe they just wait for you when you are all alone. But these latest rumors of creatures haven't been found in the corner behind people's doorways or patiently hiding under the bed. They haven't been found sneaking into anyone's closet either. These have been witnessed coming out from the tunnels that miners were digging up. This wasn't too far from people's homes, and some citizens asked them to stop. They saw things that weren't human coming out at night from the tunnels. And every night, they would boldly travel a little farther. Even more people stated that the miners were invading these creatures' homes, and if they didn't stop digging, these beasts would invade their own homes. Still, the digging continued. Who was going to believe such a story anyway? One day, the truth hit a little too close to reality. When Greg Darwin was called to inspect the tunnel, the miner stumbled into a problem. There was a barricade inside and they couldn't break through it. There was found on the barricade a stone tablet with what appeared to be ancient writing. To make things worse, it was written in a text that no one could translate. Soon enough, it didn't appear to look like writing at all, more like symbols. Some of the workers thought it would be a good idea not to continue, getting an awful feeling. Some of them were so spooked that they quit on sight. The rest of the miners continued on, and soon enough they found a passageway. It was completely sealed. There didn't appear to be any other way around it. Still, they were as determined as ever. And after weeks of studying, a professor broke the code. As they wandered around, the place started to resemble more of a cave than a tunnel. Before they got any farther, the doors closed behind them and locked them in. The professor tried to calm everyone down before they started to panic, explaining that if this was a cave, there's probably another way out. Two workers walked up to Darwin and introduced themselves as Joanna and Bobby Merck. As kids, they used to go over to the abandoned tunnels and play inside. It didn't used to have any barricade, and it always led them into the cave. Until one day, the tunnel collapsed and trapped them inside. After 4 days, they told him they had found their way out and believe they still remembered.
"Very well," said Darwin. "You can lead the way for now."
And with that, the hike continued on. The professor did wonder, though, why the tunnel was reopened if it had collapsed, and if there were no creatures. When the Mercs were children, then maybe the rumors weren't true at all. As the miners explored, they shined their light over the darkness, but the blackness over the cave engulfed the place. They thought they saw shadows moving around, but it could just as easily have been the lights when they moved them around. As they got deeper, the workers began to hear low groans echoing around them. The path they followed led down, and it felt like they were going deeper into the cave, not getting out. The growling grew a little louder. As the Mercs were leading the way, one person yelled out. They went to check up on the miner, thinking he was just frightened. But as they shined the light up at the man, they saw his arm. "It no longer had a hand attached to it. It bit my hand off," the man yelled in panic. Blood was gushing, and everyone tried the best they could to stop it. Darwin rushed over and said,
"Listen to me. We have to get out of here now. Whatever that was, I guarantee it wasn't the only one. It's going to tell the others, and now it's hungry, now that it had a taste of your blood."
He got the man back up to his feet and they walked. But he started to stagger from the loss of blood. Bobby Merck walked by the professor.
"You know, if those demons are sensitive to light, maybe we can use these lanterns as weapons."
Darwin looked right back at him before responding.
"I don't think that will do much good. These things lived in caves for a very long time and probably developed other ways of finding us, besides seeing. Sort of like bats using sonar to track down their other friends.
After a few more minutes, the mercs stopped in their tracks and looked up.
"This is it,"
said Bobby, pointing all the way up to indicate to everyone they were climbing from here.
"Won't take too long to climb up there. Once on top, we'll be more than halfway out."
"Yeah, but how are we going to get the injured man out of here?"
one of the miners asked.
"He can't climb like the rest of us, and we can't just simply leave him here to die."
"Then two of us will climb up at the top, while the others stay down with him," Joanna finally spoke up. As they began to climb, Darwin walked up to Bobby and said,
"Be careful. I don't think this cave is exactly the same way you remembered it."
Bobby didn't think much about it and began climbing. Shortly after, a horrible scream came from one of the miners. It was the same one that had his hand bitten off. Now, teeth marks covered the side of his face. His throat had been slashed. Everyone else panicked now, trying to climb up, even pulling people down to get up faster. Someone stepped on a trap on the ground and spears shot up and impaled him. The blood beaded down the rust over the spears. As now loud, growling sounds were heard. Darwin had a feeling that the blood from each person's death would attract more monsters. It was clear now how these beasts looked as one of the workers looked deep into its eyes. Or eye, would be more exact, since they only had one. Their backs were sharp like a porcupine's, and its teeth covered half its face when it grinned. They were blue and round. They gnawed off the feet of the miners that were climbing. Everyone was screaming as the thought of death entered their minds many times. It is easy to attack a target that's defenseless. As they reached the top, the sides of the cave shot out arrows. Some people got shot in the neck and died instantly. Even the ones that were suffering wouldn't have to wait long, as the monsters would simply come by to eat them. Bobby and Joanna rushed over, but stopped at yet another barricade.
"This one wasn't here before,"
Bobby yelled at the top of his lungs. They had no choice but to wait for the professor to catch up. Darwin looked, studying the puzzle. He worked his way trying to scroll through, but it wasn't easy, considering that even he didn't understand the text. As Professor Darwin attempted to explain, there were three artifacts on the side of the door that resembled keys. Before, as he tried to figure out which key would work for the door, nearly all the miners pushed him aside and tried opening the door themselves. As they used the first key, pressurized acid came out from the walls. The chemicals ate away at the flesh almost as painfully as the monsters. Even though these creatures might not be tall, they were as fast as ever, and their hunger grew. The remaining miners used the second key, and finally, the door unlocked. People ran at a stampede as the demons ran right behind. The floors underneath collapsed, and those that ran ahead fell through. The bottom was an inferno that was hot enough to burn the skin without even touching it. The only ones that actually had enough sense to listen to the professor and still remain among the living were the mercs. His suggestion was to climb on the vines through the doorway, but these human eaters had claws, and they scaled the side of the cave, biting away at the vines. So, they had to leap from vine to vine without hesitating, not even to look at the flames below. The beasts followed even after they made their way across. But they were slowing down. Darwin looked back and saw a light in the distance. He got closer and had the mercs help him push over the crumbling rocks and debris ahead of them. More light had shone through as they climbed up and out into the outside world. They eventually hitched a ride in the back of a pickup truck, the Mercs, looked over at Darwin before they spoke. How are we even going to explain this? The professor shook his hands and laughed nervously while looking back. He then turned and adjusted his glasses before responding.
It's simple. We're going to blow up both entrances to the cave. Then we're going to tell everybody that the cave collapsed and everyone got separated from one another.
Yeah, but won't people go in to inspect the place and find out that's not true?
Bobby questioned. Darwin covered his face in frustration.
The truth is, no one is going to believe us anyway. And they're not going to survive very long if they inspect this place.
And just like that, the truck drove off. Darwin made good on his word and used explosives to seal the two entrances they found. But the truth of the matter is, whatever we close off can always be opened again.